Good afternoon and welcome back. It's midday. Now I'm joined in studio by the author, literary critic, and humorist Marion Winnick. She's a former commentator on All Things Considered, and she co-hosts the Weekly Reader show and podcast here on WIPR. Her essays have been featured in many publications, including the Baltimore Sun and the New York Times. She's the author of 10 books. Her latest is called The Baltimore Book of the Dead. Hey, Marion, good to see you.
Hi, Tom.
So explain to folks what the Baltimore Book of the Dead is. It's a follow-up to your Glen Rock Book of the Dead. You're making a cottage industry of this.
Well, I'm obsessed with dead people, I guess. It's a collection of 400-word portraits of dead people that I knew, ranging from people I really knew, like my mother, and to people that were part of my life and never knew it, like Lou Reed and David Bowie and Prince. It follows the track of my life, so it starts with people in New Jersey and ends with a whole bunch of people in Baltimore.
You write in the introduction that our lives are so full of dead people that any sane way of living involves constant remembrance. And that struck me, because this really is about sort of keeping these people, for lack of a better term, alive in your memory.
Yeah, I've been thinking about, been asked a bunch of times why I'm obsessed with this, and it's come clear to me that because I was widowed in my 30s and I dealt with a lot of loss early in my writing career and early in my life, I think I got a different relationship to dead people than others may have, and I'm less afraid of it and more welcoming the remembrances as at the celebration side of mourning, maybe.
There's one called The Velveteen Rabbit, and you admit that you hadn't seen this person. It's a woman that you hadn't actually seen her for 20 years, but her memory was still quite vivid in your experience.
And her painting was right on the wall, you know, and I looked at it every day. And then I had heard the story of her death, and I just looked into it. And so in this piece, I talk about the time that we were together in the 1980s, as well as bringing it up to date with what I was able to learn about her death.
Largely, in the essays, it may even be the entire time, I'm not quite sure. Do you ever name the people?
No.
Yeah. I think they remain unnamed. Yeah. You can sort of figure out who they are.
Right.
I mean, like the one about your mom, you can figure out that that's her. But I wonder, a standard obituary, of course, always, you know, elevates the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't feel obligated to do that.
Well, I actually felt like I didn't have the right to do it, since no one could agree to be in my book and no one could know what I would say about them or what stories I would gather. I felt like it was a gesture of respect not to name people. And then also it opens this, you know, they're meant to be relatable in a way that you read this and you think of your person that you knew that was like this, or your brother-in-law, your realtor. And so not naming them opens them up more for that identification.
You're a very funny writer, as anybody who's read any of your other stuff knows, and including in this book. I mean, it's fascinating to me that a book of the dead has as much really funny prose in it as many of your other books. I mean, do you find that surprising to you, that you wanted to be funny about so many of these folks?
I think it's a way of life for me, and it goes back to the same thing I mentioned before. You know, my life took a dark turn early, and I think I learned to use humor as a way of coping with it early on. And I think it's just as woven with sadness into, you know, our days and what we want to read and think.
I had an impulse to refer to these kind of as obituaries, but are they obituaries, or are they distinct in your mind between what an obituary that one might read about in the Sun or the Times and these essays?
Yeah, I don't think they're obituaries, because I make no bones about trying to include the facts of the person's life. I give a portrait of them that's very subjective, and in every one I talk about why they're important to me. So the book is as much about me as it is about the 61 people. And in fact, it's kind of a memoir, because it starts with people I knew when I was a little girl and it ends with the people I know now, or knew now. And so not obituaries.
Yeah. One of the ones is written about a mutual friend of ours who some of our listeners might remember, because he was on the morning show with me for about a year and a half as he battled ALS, Dudley Clendenin. And so, of course, there's a person that I knew. So I read that one knowing who he was and knowing how beautifully you captured his spirit.
Well, thank you, because it means a lot for, you know, other people who know the person to read read it, and I do that when I'm writing them. I get feedback from people who knew, and isn't it funny about the woman who's right after Dudley that had the big crush on him?
Yes, yeah. Who lived in his building.
Right. Yeah,
I knew her too. Is there an obligation to say nice things about people when you're writing about them after they've passed away?
That's an interesting question. In the first book, I had two people that I definitely didn't care what the hell anybody thought. I thought of them as eulogies for the damned. In this book, there's no one that I have that strong of a negative feeling about, but I've never shied away from including mixed stories about people. I think that's what makes them real. And it's, you know, you can't just polish the trophies and stuff.
Marion Winnick, her new book is called The Book of the Dead. And tomorrow evening, Marion Winnick and fellow Baltimore author Laura Lippman will be speaking about their new books at the Church of the Redeemer. It's part of the Writers Live series, sponsored by the Enoch Pratt Free Library. That event starts at 7 p.m. Marion, this is a terrific read. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We got more information on our website, wypr.org/midday. Our theater critic, Jaywin Russick, is up next with her weekly review. Stay with us.